All right. Good morning, folks. This is Noelle King in for Celeste Headlie for just one more day.
Takeaway is Noelle King.
Celeste will be back on Monday. And, John, we've spent the past week talking to some of our favorite takeaway guests from throughout the course of the year. And we're about to have a conversation about teachable moments from 2010.
Oh, that sounds very public.
Well,
radio.
I should start by saying that not everybody likes this term teachable moments. People say they find it a little bit condescending. But if you are a teacher, I think it's fair. Mark Oglesby is on the line with us now. He's a high school government and civics teacher.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, hey, Mark.
He's from Howell, Michigan, where I used to
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Hey, Mark.
We're good, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, Mark, let's start with a teachable moment for President Obama. If he was one of your high school students in civics class, listen to this, might have been a teachable moment of his own.
I can tell you that, you know, some election nights are more fun than others. Some are exhilarating. Some are humbling. But every election, regardless of who wins and who loses, is a reminder that in our democracy, power rests not with those of us in elected office, but with the people we have the privilege to serve.
So President Obama learning some lessons of his own in 2010. Mark Oglesby, when you taught your high school students, civic students this year about the midterm elections and the government, what was the message? What were you trying to impart this year?
Well, I mean, and still teaching it. I mean, just the turnover in the House, such the short time, either from, you know, you talk about the 2006 election or even just 2008 with President Obama, the people now have a short fuse. They're tired of politics as usual. And the elections, they're one chance to respond, to say, we want things to change. I mean, you look at the mood of the people, the Tea Party, the Glenn Beck and John Stewart rallies, and this was just the opportunity for the people to speak, saying, we want things to change. Change in Washington, D.C. We want to get rid of politics as usual. We want people to start working together to compromise, to pass legislation that we truly want.
So that's an obvious teachable moment. So the midterm elections were somebody wasn't listening to somebody else, right?
Yeah.
That's
but it's just the short term. I mean, the turnover happened so quickly, you know, comparatively.
And this must have been really interesting for you as a teacher, because high school students are known for being a little bit bored, a little bit cynical. But what you were able to impart was almost – this year, the votes matter. This year, you could say, you cast your vote, you split apart from the Republican Party, you go to the Tea Party, and what you do really matters. You think your students believed it? Got the message?
Cool. I think so, because especially the youth, I mean, go back to the 2008 election and a number of youth that were involved in that election, you know, a record number. And so the mood, the idea that they still have an impact, this isn't just a, you know, going to be a one-time election they participated, that they have an impact now. So I really think that's something that I was able to stress to them, that they can do something about that. I'm hopeful for the future as far as the youth participating.
We saw the continued rise this year in American politics of the prominence and the importance of social networking. Facebook and Twitter, some candidates really helping themselves, some candidates kind of hurting themselves. What was the moment there for your students?
Actually, it was a story I pulled off New York Times or Washington Post, too, talking about if you looked at the number of people who liked or followed candidates, the candidate who had the most people following them or liking them actually won almost all the elections, the big elections. You know, so it was just another way. Again, following back to President Obama, I think he had 10 times as many followers or people that liked him on Facebook and the social networks going back to 2008 compared to Hillary Clinton, and much more so compared to John McCain, just how you can use these networks and such. You know, I mean, I even use them in the classroom. I have groups for my classes as well now, too, just a way for us to communicate. And it's a tool that they're using already, so it just makes it easier for people to communicate with those, to either as students or to, you know, people who would be voting in elections.
So a lesson for any would-be politicians at age 17 or 18. Let's move from the American government to the Venezuelan government. This was something you focused on with your students. Tell me, what was the theme? What were you talking about in this situation?
Well, with Hugo Chavez, just with the outgoing Congress that had supported him, giving him a rule by decree, the power for 18 months to rule by decree, and because the new Congress has 40% of opposition party now in power. But with this rule by decree, he now can strike out the newspaper and the news media outlets, and he's actually, you know, by decree stating that you cannot speak out against the government, you know, sort of like our sedition acts that we had in U.S. history. So, you know, the idea of limited government, the ignoring of rule of law, and as I said, rule by decree now. So really, you know, the power of government, you know, and, you know, Chavez is ignoring the Constitution. They've already done it before, you know, granting him essentially the ability to run for another term. Speculation that's going to happen again, you know. So just the power of government, the checks on government, that, you know, the idea that you have to limit the government too. So we're seeing that not just in the United States where people are concerned, but you're seeing that in other countries as well.
From Worcester, Mass, we got a great teachable moment from somebody's sort of personal life here. Mark, listen to this. You'll love this. This comes up in your class. My ex-employer taught me that no job is a sure thing. My kids, 3 and 11 months, taught me that my job is not the most important thing. Nice.
Yeah. It is. It is. I mean, there are always teachable moments. I had one of my students from college that said, you know, every moment's a teachable moment. And it is. It's just how we use it and respond to it.
Well, Mark, we'll be checking back in with you in 2011 for some more teachable moments. Thank you so much for joining us on the air this morning. Mark Oglesby is a high school government and civics teacher from Hollow, Michigan. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Happy New Year. Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.